Well, hi, thanks for coming. My name is Bill Ballew. My presentation is A Hard Road to the Top, the Ups and Downs of Major Leaguers in the 1970s. The information in this presentation was taken from the years of research and writing I put into my book, Major League Baseball Players of the 1970s, a biographical dictionary from Aussie to Zisk. It was initially supposed to be come out in March, but it's going to be October now. But anyway, if you want to go to McFarland, they said they'd still honor the discount pre-order. But anyway, but the book features profiles on players who made their major league debuts between the beginning of the 1970 season and the end of the 1979 season. I looked up to date, 22,783 players have played in the major leagues up to right now. Between the start of the 70 season and the end of the 79 season, 1,312 players, there we go, made their major league debut. 220 players, or 16.8%, saw activity in only one season or part of one season. Most of them were September call-ups. So, you know, not a whole lot of experience for those guys. 161 players, or 12.3%, appeared in 10 games or fewer. There we go. Then 25 players appeared in only one game. That was a lot more than I thought would be. But 25 guys played only one game in the major leagues. So the old axiom that it's hard to get to the big leagues, but it's harder to stay there, rings true once again. One player who did not get credit among the 13-12 players is a guy who got as close as he possibly can. His name is Larry Yount. His younger brother was Robin Yount. On September 15, 1971, while Yount was called upon by Harry the Hat Walker to relieve during a game with the Astros, he injured himself, or he injured his shoulder while he was warming up. Of the eight pitches, you know, before he was supposed to face the batter, left, had to leave the game, never appeared in another major league game. And so he doesn't get credit. He even pitched like two or three more years in the minor leagues, but still never got called back up. So if you're looking at this list like I am of the guys, this is really the human side of the element. It's not a lot of statistics, so to speak. These are the guys that showed a lot of perseverance, a lot of drive, a lot of, you know, grit to get to the big leagues, to, you know, live their dream, even if it was just for a short period of time. Among the 25 players who appeared in only one game, the first alphabetically, well, there's Larry Young. There we go, Al Autry. One game, September 14th, 1976. He has spent eight seasons in the minor leagues. He got traded to Atlanta, and on that date, he teamed up with a rookie catcher by the name of Dale Murphy. He pitched five innings, second game of a doubleheader, and he allowed three runs, four hits, including home runs to Cesar Cedeno and Jose Cruz. He said he was surprised to be relieved of his duties after five innings, but nevertheless, Atlanta won 5-4, making him one of only two pitchers in Major League history to start and win their only appearance. Mike Darr, the 17th player taken in the 1977 expansion draft, made his debut in a start against the Red Sox on September 6, 1977, but failed to make it out of the second inning. He did stick around long enough to give up a home run, a grand slam, to Boston's Carlton Fisk, which was the first grand slam allowed in Blue Jays history. His son, Mike Darr Jr., was an outfielder with the Padres from 1999 to 2001, but he was tragically killed in spring training in an automobile accident in 2002. September 14, 1971, Frank Estrada of the Mets became the first Mexican catcher in the major leagues. He entered the game against the Expos in the top of the sixth and struck a single against Montreal's Bill Stoneman an inning later. Estrada played 26 seasons in the Mexican League and 30 campaigns in the Winter Mexican League, accumulating approximately 4,000 games. According to Rory Costello in his profile on Estrada in the Saber Biography Project, that total is by far the most of any catcher in professional baseball history. Since we're here in Baltimore, the lone Oriole of the 25 players, Jeff Rainier, He barely made the list of the 1970s to 1979 because he made his appearance as only one of the major leagues on the final day of the 1979 season. He retired on September 30th, 1979, the sixth inning with a runner on first. He retired Ron Pruitt on a fly ball to left field, and then got Dave Rosello to bounce into a 6-4-3 double play, ending the inning and also his major league career, as it turned out. One final player of note of the 25-1 game wonders is the Cubs' Rose Skidmore. First baseman stepped to the plate one time in the big leagues. Against the Cardinals' Jerry Royce on September 17, 1970, Royce threw a breaking ball and Skidmore drove the ball over the head of Joe Torre at third base for a single and his only at bat, a 1,000 batting average. Even though he played five more seasons than the minors, he never again reappeared in the major leagues. A handful of players who played 10 games or fewer had relatives in the big leagues. Ron Allen was the brother of Dick Allen and Hank Allen. Ron Allen spent 9 seasons in the minors with the Phillies and Mets and had 135 home runs during that time. The 28-year-old reached the major leagues with the Cardinals on August 11, 1972, and played in 7 games. He had 1 hit and 11 at-bats in the big leagues, which was appropriately a home run. A solo shot on August 17th in the 9th inning against San Diego's Mike Corkins. Ike Brookins, the brother of longtime major leaguer Tom Brookins, pitched in 3 games for the Tigers, struck out 8 batters in 10 1/3 innings in 1975. He was with the Tigers, but he was not teammates with Tom. Tom didn't make his big league debut until 1979. Tommy Cruz was the middle of the 3 Cruz brothers, Jose and Heidi, or Hector, according to which year it was. In 1973, 3 weeks after Hector made his major league debut, Tommy went hitless in 2 at-bats with the Cardinals, serving primarily as a pinch runner and a defensive replacement in 7 outings. Dave Downs, he threw a shutout in his major league debut at the age of 20. Now, he is the older brother of Kelly Downs, a future Giant who had success in the 1980s and early 90s. Dave Downs on September 2nd, 1972, scattered 8 hits and a walk in a 3-0 victory over the Braves. He finished the season 1-1 with a 2.74 ERA in 4 starts. Winty Ford, not to be confused with Whitey Ford, was no relation to the Yankee hurler, but like Dave Downs, he also pitched 4 games and won his debut. As a member of the Braves on September 10th, 1973, Ford allowed 4 earned runs, but won 10-4 in a complete game victory over the Giants. One more time, looking at our through orange-colored glasses with the Orioles, Tony Chavez pitched 4 games as a reliever with the Orioles midway through the 1977 season, and in the process became only the second native of Nicaragua to pitch in the major leagues, joining teammate Dennis Martinez. Another Oriole, Dave Criscione, played in 7 games midway through the 1977 season. His wife gave birth to the couple's first child on July 21st. He started his first major league game 3 days later on July 24th and received a standing ovation from the Memorial Stadium crowd when he stroked his first hit of his career in the 4th inning. He added a single in the 6th and then moved the ultimate winning run to third base with a sacrifice bunt in the 8th. Earl Weaver bunted? I mean, anyway, the following night on July 25th, Criscione hit a 1-out home run in the 10th inning against Milwaukee's Sam Hines to win the game 4-3, and he was promptly sent down to Triple-A Rochester and never reappeared. A couple of other players in the big leagues, George Enright, 22-year-old catcher, played 2 games with the White Sox. The first was on August 8th, 1976. He caught the final 2 innings of a 7-1 loss to the Royals. That contest also marked the first of 3 games in which the White Sox wore Bermuda shorts and striped socks instead of traditional baseball pants. That's got to be pretty miserable for a catcher. Owner Bill Veeck's wife, Mary Frances, thought it would keep the players cooler. We also have Dave Cripe, who played in 7 games with the Royals in his first at-bat on September 10th, 1978, Cripe singled off a pitcher by the name of Nolan Ryan. He then went 1-for-12 the remainder of his short big league career, but not many people can say they got a hit off Nolan Ryan in their first at-bat. Finally, we have Doug Clary, who played in 9 games and batted four times with the Cardinals. His only hit was a pinch hit home run in the top of the 16th inning off San Francisco's Mike Caldwell to give the Cardinals a 4-2 victory. 6 players spent 10 seasons in the minors, 10 seasons or more in the minors, prior to receiving their first taste in the big leagues. Those are them. Bob Babcock was released by the Pirates and Expos and was traded by the Orioles prior to reaching the big leagues with the Rangers on July 22, 1979, at the age of 29. He entered the game against the Royals with the bases loaded with 2 outs and got Amos Otis to hit into a force play. He was a former steel mill worker in Pennsylvania, and he made the Rangers out of spring training in 1981. He wound up pitching 39 games over parts of 3 seasons. He concluded his professional career in 1984, having played for 13 major league teams over 17 professional seasons. Damaso Blanco also was promoted to the big leagues in his 12th minor league season, all of which had been spent in the Giants organization. At the age of 30, the native of Venezuela made his debut in 1972 and made San Francisco's opening day roster in 1973. He wound up playing 72 games over parts of 3 seasons, so his perseverance paid off. Galen Pitt spent 10 seasons in the minors prior to getting cups of coffee in 1974 and 1975. He must have liked the minor league life. He spent more than a quarter century as a minor league manager after his playing days ended. He also spent 5 seasons on Joe Torre's coaching staff with the Cardinals and later joined Mike Matheny's staff when he got into the Cardinals. Here's my favorite story. Milt May. He did not have a long tenure in the minor leagues. He signed with the Pirates out of St. Petersburg High School in 1968, and he reached the major leagues for the first time in 1970. But in his first full pro season, playing for the Gastonia Pirates in the Western Carolinas League, May hit 2 home runs in a game against the Statesville Monroe Indians and added another home run and a double in his first 2 at-bats the following night. In his next trip to the plate, his third trip to the plate that night, May hit the dirt twice on a pair of high and tight pitches. The third pitch drilled him right in the head. The opposing manager, by the way, was a former Phillies third baseman by the name of Merrill Pinky May, who happened to be Milt's father. A little tough love there, you know? 14 players were drafted and made their big leagues debut, their professional debut in the big leagues. In 1970, pitcher Steve Dunning went from Stanford to the Cleveland rotation, becoming the first player since the draft began in 1965 to go straight to the big leagues. Dunning would go a combined 12-23 with a 4.66 ERA in 50 games, including 46 starts prior to spending the first half of the 1972 season at AAA Portland. It really didn't do him much good. You know, he should have had some development there. Let's see where I am time-wise. Okay, we're good. 8 of the 14 pitchers were, including 3 high school hurdlers, David Clyde, Tim Conroy, and Mike Morgan. They went straight from high school to the big leagues. Morgan had the most success, pitching 22 seasons in the major leagues with 12 different teams and going a combined 141 and 186. David Clyde was used as a desperate attempt by Rangers owner Bob Short to increase attendance, which set Clyde up for failure. Considered to be the top high school pitcher in the country with a fastball that flirted with 100 miles an hour, Clyde was a local Texas product out of the Houston area who signed Short signed him for a $125,000 bonus. Short was struggling financially to stay afloat financially, having moved from Washington to Arlington. But he basically got his signing bonus back from Clyde because in Clyde's first 2 starts at Arlington Stadium, totaled 68,706 fans, including the first sellout in Rangers history. Clyde even won that game by allowing only a 2-run homer over 5 innings in the Rangers 4-3 win. Things went downhill from there. Clyde struggled to mesh with his older teammates and partied way too hard for an 18, 19-year-old. 1974, Rangers manager Billy Martin refused to use Clyde, said he didn't belong in the big leagues. Clyde tried too hard, suffered a shoulder injury in 1975, and was never effective the remainder of his career. One position player went from the high school ranks to the big leagues. Brian Milner was a catcher and considered to be a first-round talent out of Fort Worth, Texas. But he had made his intentions clear to go to, that he was going to Arizona State. Well, the Jays, it was their first year, really their second year, took him in the seventh round just as a flyer. And on June 23rd at Cleveland, he went 1-for-4 with a single against Rick Waits in his first game. In his second game, 3 days later, he went 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored and 2 RBIs against Baltimore. This turned out to be his only 2 big league outings. He was sent to the minors after his second game, which was agreed upon when he signed. He had bone chips removed from his right elbow after the season. He struggled from there, never advanced higher than AA Knoxville in 1981 and 1982. But on a positive note, his son Hobie Milner pitched in the big leagues from 2017 to 2020. Of the 14 players to go straight to the big leagues, only Dave Winfield and Bob Horner never played in the minor leagues. One other player that can be added to the list, although he was not drafted but signed as an amateur free agent in 1974, 2 weeks prior to the start of spring training, A's owner Charlie Finley signed Hurricane Herb Washington. He was a designated pitch runner. He had not played baseball since his junior year of high school. And his teammates, his A's teammates, resented the fact that he was taking a spot on the 25-man roster. Nevertheless, he spent the entire 1974 season with the A's. He neither batted nor played defense. He pinch ran 92 times, stole 29 bases, scored 29 runs, and was caught stealing 16 times. In May of 75, the A's said, "We need you to go down to minor leagues." Herb said, "No thanks," and did not continue to play baseball. Numerous players battled injuries and ailments not associated with playing the game prior to reaching the major leagues. Gary Beer suffered a near-fatal wreck when his van was crushed by a train during spring training in 1976, but he recovered and had a 3.29 ERA in 6 outings with the Brewers near the end of the season. Jake Brown, this is a remarkable story. He was an outfielder in the Giants organization, had his left arm sliced off in a sheet metal machine on October 22, 1973. Doctors at Houston's Methodist Hospital miraculously sewed the arm back, but told Brown he would never play baseball again. Brown endured incredible pain and intensive rehab and was determined, and starting in midway through 1974, he started swinging a bat. He returned to play pro ball in 1975 at AA Lafayette and was promoted to San Francisco in mid-May. He had an RBI single and scored a run in his third appearance, and on May 25th against the Cubs, he wound up playing 41 games that year and had 9 hits and 43 at-bats, but it was just too much. He retired from the game at the end of the season. Bud Bulling had played 4 games in 1974 at Wisconsin Rapids in the Midwest League when he was accidentally shot in the stomach by a teammate. A 22 caliber bullet damaged his colon and intestines and lodged in the back portion of his pelvic bone. He returned to Wisconsin Rapids the next year and made his big league debut with the Twins in 1977. Dave Haverlow, he was shot in the left hand in a bar fight in Texas at AA Amarillo, but he made the big leagues the next year in 1975 and 76 with the Giants. Third baseman Roy Howe was a cowpuncher growing up on a farm in California, and he was shot in the arm by a hunting rifle while growing up, but he still played 1,100 games over 11 seasons with the Rangers, Blue Jays, and Brewers. Ron LaFleur was incarcerated in Michigan for armed robbery. He committed 17. Friend of Billy Martin's convinced Martin to go watch LaFleur play in prison games. Tigers signed him on July 2nd, 1973. He had a pretty good career with the Tigers in the Expos. David Palmer caught his middle finger. I didn't mean to shoot the bird there, but anyway, in a pinball machine in the minors, and he broke the top 2 joints. He was not a prospect at the time. Well, he had to alter the grip of his pitches, which actually made him more effective and led to a 10-year major league career. Finally, we have Rick Roden as an 8-year-old. He slid into a rusty pair of scissors while sliding on a 40-foot slip or a slip and slide, a homemade slip and slide. The scissors jammed into his right knee and led to a bone disease that required the removal of a portion of his knee. He wore a brace for 3 years before undergoing another surgery that required him to use a cane for a couple of years. Determined but not to not be limited by the problem, Roden focused on pitching and wound up winning 151 games in the major leagues. 13 players played in the served in Vietnam. Don't want to run out of time here. Let's see where I am. Okay. Oh, this is my favorite player of this era. The Orioles' Al Bunbury had an impressive story. He was 5'8" athlete who played basketball at Virginia State College. Did not play baseball until his senior year. He led the CIAA with a .378 batting average and was drafted in 11th round by Baltimore. 2 months later, in 1969, he was called to duty as a second lieutenant, served 11 months in Vietnam as a platoon leader, and earned a Bronze Star prior to being discharged in 1971. He was the Player of the Year in the International League in 72 and a Rookie of the Year in American League in 73. Chuck Goggin earned a Bronze Star in Vietnam. He was drafted into the Marines and served as an infantry rifleman and radio operator before rising to platoon commander after he guided severely depleted Ripley's Raiders to victory. He suffered numerous injuries when he also stepped on a landmine during his career. When his 13-month tour of duty ended on August 20th, 1967, he got a Purple Heart and Bronze Star. He played 72 games over parts of three major league seasons with the Pirates, Braves, and Red Sox during the 70s. Bob Jones also served for 14 months in the minor leagues. I'm going to have to go through some of these pretty quick. Anyway, he ended up playing nine major league seasons, but he played 17 years of pro ball prior to spending his first full season in the big leagues. Finally, we had Gary Maddox, Minister of Defense, spent 2 years in the Army, including 12 months as a perimeter guard in Vietnam. During his overseas stint, he suffered a reaction to unknown chemicals that left his skin permanently hypersensitive to touch. That led to him growing and maintaining a beard throughout his career with the Phillies and the Giants. Real quick, I'll finish up with one other route with indigenous to the 1970s was the Royals Academy. It was the brainchild of Kansas City owner Ewing Kaufman, who made a fortune as the founder of Marion Laboratories, a pharmaceutical company. Research and development were the key to pharmaceutical business, and Kaufman believed the same approach could be implemented in baseball, much to the chagrin of most observers in the game. His front office hated the idea, thought it was a waste of time and money, but Kaufman was determined to search for young athletes bypassed by the baseball establishment due to their raw skills or lack of baseball experience. He built a new facility in Florida. It opened in 1970. The first class began August 1970 and graduated in December of 71. During that time, the class played 241 games against college teams, various amateur clubs, and other major league affiliates. They also won the Gulf Coast League title in 1971 that pissed off everybody in the baseball establishment. And then he took the players on a celebratory 10-day trip to Latin America to play games. Players were paid $50 a month, provided 2 years of college at a junior college. They were taught a variety of skills, including nutrition, and how to handle their finances. Their eyesight was tested, measuring their depth perception, which they found was the key to hitting at night. Olympic track star Wes Santee helped the players win with the fundamentals of running. Ted Williams said he would speak for 15 minutes. He spoke for 2.5 hours about how to hit. And hitting hitting coach Charlie Lau developed his approach of hitting to the opposite field, teaching people how to do that. They opened in 1970, prior to closing in 1974. Frank White was the poster child. He won 8 gold gloves and played 18 seasons, 5-time All-Star with the Royals. Two other players that made it, Ron Washington, the current third base coach of the Atlanta Braves, said he would be working in the fields of Louisiana without the Royals Academy. And UL Washington, he also had a substantial major league career after hitchhiking from Oklahoma to take part in the tryout camp, and he made the camp. So anyway, right before his death, Kaufman said, "The biggest mistake I made in baseball was letting them talk me into closing the academy. It cost $500,000 a year to operate. There were still people in the organization who were not behind the idea, but actually the cost was about the same as what the farm system was at the time." So anyway, he was way ahead of his time, evidently. So, sorry to almost run over, but anyway, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it.